nothing for me, but those things that I believe would help us to be able to walk in lockstep. I'll say it that way, to walk in lockstep together. But that being said, God today had me to talk to you about rest. Today we're going to be talking about rest. So if I had a title for this message, the message title would be, are you resting or working today? And resting, as early as this morning when we were praying in our circle, one of the people who were praying was talking about how they were just so everything is going, just wants things to go. And just, is there anybody in here who could relate to those feelings? Yeah, well, that was one of the reasons why I felt like this, those feelings appropriate. I would love for normalcy to come back in one sense, but in another sense, not so much. Because I don't know about you, but my normal before, I was still restless before the pandemic happened. And some of you were restless as well. And I thought about, now I shared this story in the, and it was, I didn't recognize that I dealt with depression until I had surgery. I had surgery in 2008. And when I had surgery, after I had surgery, there was a woman who went to my church who said to me, hey, I'd like to take you out to lunch. She took me out to lunch and she said, hey, have you been dealing with depression? Now, what I didn't know is this lady had the same surgery that I had had. And so she was sitting me down because she had dealt with depression herself. And so she knew that it was possible that I could be dealing with some of these things. And as she said it, I did what we usually do when somebody comes and challenges us in an area. I deflected and said, no, I hid, I ran in the opposite direction. Not physically, but in the conversation. Because I didn't want to admit that that could possibly be where I was. But as she continued to talk, the truth of what she was saying hit home. And I started thinking about why, after I had done this surgery that I felt like I was supposed to do, after I felt like I had found, in part, a purpose in my life, that I was still restless. I was still restless. And then, after hearing her say those things, I decided, you know what? I need to look at this. And as I looked at it, I realized that the depression that I was experiencing didn't happen with the surgery. It actually, the surgery actually exposed the fact that I was dealing with depression. But I had to trace it all the way back. When I went to counseling, I had to trace it back. And I'm saying that because some people in here have been restless. And they think that the pandemic is the reason why they've been restless. But I would challenge you to go back before the pandemic. I would challenge you to go back before the pandemic and really look at things and see whether or not the pandemic itself actually exposed the fact that the rest that God has provided for his children, you were not experiencing. And it's one thing to know that God has given or provided rest. But just because we know that God has provided rest doesn't assure us that we are going to enter into that rest. And so the scripture that we are going to be looking at today is found, and this is whether you are a Christian or not a Christian today. Because there's enough restlessness to go around. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm a Christian. Why should I be restless? Well, there's a lot of things that we are seeing right now. We live in a time where we've experienced some of the promises of God. We are experiencing some of the promises of God, and we will experience some of the promises of God. And just in that continuum, there's an opportunity or an ability to be restless or find yourself one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled becomes the tree of life. In other words, there are some things when you have been believing God for some things, and those things have not happened as of yet, it can put you in a state of being restless or sick, where you can't just pop a pill or, you know, go to the doctor and then everything's okay. The only thing that's going to make everything okay is when what it is that you've been believing for, what you've been hoping for, what you've God has promised you actually comes to pass. That's when the restlessness ends. And so I want us to look at a passage of scripture this morning, because like I said, even though God provides rest and has provided rest, and we'll see this, in creation he provided rest. He provided rest in the story that we're about to read, and he provides rest for us even in the midst of a pandemic. We don't automatically enter into that rest just because it's there. All right, so we're going to look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, starting with verse 1, going through verse 16. But let me give you a little context before we start that. The book of Hebrews, the author is not known or is unknown. The book was written in the first century. It was probably written around 70 AD. And the purpose of this letter was to exhort the church and the participants of the church to remain faithful. They were struggling with being faithful in the midst of persecution, struggling with being faithful in the midst of all of the cares of this life and the things that were going on in order to take them away from the faith. It also points to the faithfulness of Jesus, and not just his faithfulness, but his superiority. His superiority in the book of Hebrews is highlighted. His superiority over angels, over Moses, who was a priest of that time, over the priesthood, and over the sacrificial system. And in this passage, he's referring to Moses in one portion, and he's referring to the people of his day in the next portion. But I want you to do something with me. I told you we'd be talking about rest today. So whenever I say the word rest, I want you to put a finger up in the air. Because we know that, I've heard it said that repetition is the mother of skill. And when God is wanting to emphasize something, he says it more than once. All right? So let's see what he's trying to get us at today. All right? I'll start reading. It says, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should not have reached it, have failed to reach it. For the good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed entered that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way: God rested on the seventh day from all his work. And again in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying, afterwards, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his. Let us, therefore, strive to enter that rest so that no one or no one may befall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, I know that's a lot. How many times did y'all hear the word rest?
At least six.
Now, there was some form of rest or rested at least 10 times. Yes. Rest or rested at least 10 times, which means that God is really wanting to emphasize rest. And I like this, and I'm going to go through this a little bit differently than I did the last service. I just want to walk through some things in this scripture and point out some things. At the beginning, it said, while the promise of entering the rest still stands, it says, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. The word fear in this scripture means to be aware. Let's be aware of the fact that there is a rest that's available so that we don't miss it, so that we can actually enter into it. And then he goes on to talk about the good news. He says, for good news came to us just as to them. We all know what the good news is. What is the good news? It's the gospel. The gospel is God's story about salvation. And this says that the good news not only came to the people in the day of the Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, but it also came at another time. That same message of salvation. Well, we know that Jesus didn't come or wasn't revealed until the New Testament. But what they were talking about was, of course, Moses and the fact that Moses was going to provide a way of salvation for the children of Israel. With that being said, we're going to talk about the good news. We're going to come back to the good news in just a second. But it goes on to say, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. His works are talking about God. God's works were finished before the foundation of the world. In other words, it goes on to say that God had already said on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. He blessed that day, and he made that rest available at that time. Now, some of us may think that because Adam and Eve didn't enter into that rest, that rest wasn't there, or that somehow that rest was affected ultimately by the fall. Ultimately by the fall, but that's not what we hear here. It says here that God had spoken of that rest. It says God would not have spoken of another day, so there remains a Sabbath rest for God's people. For God's people. It went on to say, and God rested on the seventh day from all his work. And again, this passage said, they shall not enter my rest. So you have people who were just like us. People who believe that God is who he says he is. They had an opportunity to enter into a rest that he provided. But the scripture tells us that they didn't enter into that rest. Now, we know in the earlier times when we were talking about Moses and his generation that a lot of, even Moses didn't enter into that rest. But we know Joshua and Caleb and those who followed them entered that rest. Why is it that the people, according to this scripture, did not enter in that rest? What does it say? Disobedience. Another way that it's interpreted in scripture is disbelief, because they didn't believe. We know that the children of Israel came through. They had more miracles than we have seen today. A lot of people want a miracle to happen. They want for a miracle vaccine to come out tomorrow that changes everything, and thinks that that alone will make everything go back to normal. Well, what if God has provided a rest that's outside of that? What if there's more persecution that's coming? What if there's persecution that we haven't even thought of that's coming? Are you going to be able to enter into the rest that God has provided? Or do you even realize that there is such a place? One of the things that it talks about as a remedy, and we're going to get to this not long after what I say next. It says, since therefore remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of their disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, and that day being today. We talked in first service, and one of the things that I challenged them to think about was the fact that when manna was given, what was manna given for? It was for today. And what happened when people attempted to take that manna and use it tomorrow? It spoiled on them. Could it be that God has a rest that's available for you today that's simply for today? That's simply for today. And you can't store up for tomorrow. You have to take the rest that he's made available and enter into that rest today. And tomorrow, you have to enter into that rest when it's today. I found, my dad would say to me all the time, one of the things that he said to me was, Mike, you could die before I die. My dad's 78 years old. He said, you can die before I do. He was a coroner investigator. He saw a lot of death. He says that all the time when we speak, because he said, all we have is today. He emphasized, all we have is today. And he says, today is not even over yet. And the day is not even over yet. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to help me realize that nothing is promised to any of us in way of our time that we have on this planet. The promise, though, that we do know that God has made available is a promise for his rest. A couple things I said I wanted to say. It says in way of the end of this verse, it says, for the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirits, of joints and marrows, and the discerning of thoughts and intentions. In other words, the word of God is one of the ways, or one of the things that God has given us in order to enter into his rest. He's given us his word. When it said today, the word, the rest for today is found in the word for today. And that word is not just a written word that's on a page. We thank God for the logos or the written word. But it also talks about in the other scripture that was referenced, which is Psalm 95. It talks about him being a shepherd, and a shepherd speaks to his sheep. And so there's a word. I don't know about you all. The reason why this is so hard and hot and heavy on me is because I'm restless, you all. I'm restless today. And because I'm restless, it allows me to tune out sometimes the words that God is trying to give me today in order for me to enter into his rest today. He's speaking to us all the time, you all. And what is he doing? He's speaking to us in order for us to know his will, And when we know his will, we can do his work. You know, it's one of the series that I was been following is the 33 series. And it says one of the things that it gave, three of the things that God gave man was a will to follow, a work to do, and a woman to love. A will to follow, a work to do, and a woman to love. I fixate so much on the work to do, though, that I don't spend time waiting to hear the will of God. And unfortunately, the woman to love, as a result, sometimes gets the leftovers. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that to you to say this, that God, through his word, he does something to us. His word examines our motives. It judges what it is that we are doing or not doing. And it admonishes us to holy living. It admonishes us to believe. It admonishes us to do what it is that God called us to do in the first place. His word makes his way known. It makes his will apparent, and it makes the work doable. I'll say it that way. It makes the work doable. You may say to me, well, they had the good news. What is the good news? Well, we know that their good news dealt with salvation, whether it was walking into the promised land. But the scripture here says that wasn't just the rest that he was talking about, because if it was talking about just that rest, then David wouldn't have gone ahead and said in Psalm 95, talked about the fact that today, when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Why? Because they had an opportunity in David's day to enter into the rest. And they had an opportunity in the writer of Hebrews to enter into the rest. And today, we also have an opportunity to enter into the rest. And so, a lot of people talk about the good news, but I try my best to put the good news in a way that is different. And for me, I had shared with you all once the three-minute sermon. This was something that God gave me after that on the gospel. And I don't know it like I know that, so I'm going to have to read it, but I ask that you stick with me. Because a lot of people, when they say the good news of the gospel, they don't know how to articulate it when they're talking to somebody. And so I've been writing in order, Lord, give me what it is that I need to know, so that when I'm sharing your good news with people, they can actually understand and actually do something with it. And so this is what God has given me in terms of the good news. When I'm speaking of the good news, I'm speaking of the gospel, which is the name given by God to describe his plan that he initiated through Jesus Christ in order to rescue mankind from their eternal consequences as a result of their sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John goes on to say, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that they might be saved through him." The gospel, which is also known as the good news, reveals God's process to redeem humankind, a process that included returning humankind, or mankind, to their original position and purpose with him. Initially, God chose to create a world specifically for mankind in order to establish a loving relationship with him. This relationship would form the foundation for how God's kingdom was supposed to operate. Additionally, through this relationship, God's glorious kingdom, which involved his rule and his reign, would be established throughout all of his creation. God blessed mankind with everything they needed in order to enjoy an unbroken fellowship with him and to co-rule in his creation. He did this in part by giving them his laws. But mankind, however, when confronted by Satan with false information about God, chose to rebel. They chose to abandon God's rule and reign for their own rule and reign. Consequently, their rebellion invited God's justice and introduced death and evil into creation. It caused humankind to forfeit their original relationship with God. In fact, there was no part of creation that was not affected by mankind's rebellion. Moreover, when confronted by God, man tried unsuccessfully to justify their sin or offense. From that time on until now, humankind has experienced broken fellowship with God. But thankfully, God knew humankind was incapable of reestablishing the fellowship that they were supposed to have with him. Therefore, he initiated his plan to redeem mankind. God would become a human in the person of Jesus Christ. As a person, he would totally obey the entirety of the moral law, which mankind up until that point was incapable of doing. In addition, he would choose to die for the collective sins of all humankind, and his blood will serve as payment for the rebellion that humankind had committed that had gone unpunished up until that point in time when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, would be resurrected from the dead, breaking the power of Satan, death, and evil once and for all. His death and resurrection provided redemption for all of mankind who chooses to believe in God's plan of being made right with him through faith in the work of Jesus, his Son. When through the invitation of God by way of his Holy Spirit, mankind repents, which means to change from their former way of thinking and place their faith in the finished work of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, they have the right to be fully restored to unbroken fellowship with God, exchanging his righteousness for their unrighteousness, free again to complete his original intention for mankind, which was to rule and reign with him and to establish his kingdom throughout all of his creation. That is the gospel that God has made available to everyone who's here. That gospel is God's word to his people that allows us to enter his rest. And when God showed me this, he gave me a picture, an acronym, REST, REST. And so I'm going to end with that. What do I mean when I'm talking about entering into God's rest? Well, first, we have to realize that we may not be in a place where we've actually judged ourselves. We may not be in a place where we've actually examined ourselves to where we see whether or not we're in the faith, because we feel or figure that we are already in a place of rest. We may not have taken his admonishments concerning rest. And so we have to realize or be made aware of the fact that we may not have entered in just simply because we didn't know, simply because we didn't make adjustments, simply because there was something that we have yet to do. I heard it said, if you are not where you want to be or not where another person is, it's because, it could possibly be because they've decided to do something that you haven't decided to do yet. In this case, you realize, and once you realize, if you realize that God has been speaking to you, he's been telling you and inviting you into your rest, and you've rejected that in some way, you repent. So it's realize and repent. Realize and repent. And when you realize and repent, you can enter. Enter into what? S, his Sabbath. Enter into his Sabbath. T stands for when? Today. Today. There's a couple things I want to say, and then I want to end with a story. One of the things that the end of this scripture talks about, it says, Jesus, it says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. What is our confession? What we believe. We started out, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. That is our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help when in the time of need. When's the time of need? Right now. The reason why I wanted to say that is because everything comes back to Jesus, you all. When it's all said and done, everything, I said that you could not enter into rest without the Word. Well, we know that the Word, in John it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word manifested, incarnate, was Jesus Christ. And this says of him that he's our great high priest. Now, I don't know a whole lot about high priests, but in the sacrificial system, and it didn't say just high priest, it says great high priest, because it was trying to show us that the thing that we have is better, the covenant that we have is better than what they had. And it says he's the great high priest who's passed on to heaven. Well, one of the things that would happen, the reason that they could enter into rest in the time of Moses was because they had a high priest. And one time of year, on the day, one day of the year, the Day of Atonement, they would actually, the high priest would go before the people on behalf of the people, and they would sacrifice an animal so that the sins of the people would be forgiven for that year and that they could enter into rest for another year. That was something that had to happen continually, over and over and over. But this says that we have a great high priest who came before in heaven. He didn't do what we did here on earth. In heaven, he did once and for all times. He came before us laying his life down, laying his blood down. And as a result of him doing that, there's a rest that we can enter. In closing, I wanted to share a story. That story being this. In 2013, took a sabbatical, and it was for the first time, but this is how I got to that point. 2012, my mother had passed away, but from 2009, we were asked to plant a church. I was asked to plant a church in East Nashville, and I was restless then. I was working and working and working and working and working, doing everything that I knew to do in order to please God, in order to be who he created me to be. And by the time my mother passed away, I was in the midst, I was in the throes of it, you all, working, so much so that when I eulogized her along with my brother, I was in such a high place that I don't even remember that day so much. I remember moments in that day, but I don't remember that day so much. And about a year later, I was tired, you all. I was really, really tired. And at work, they had given us a book by a man by the name of Wayne Cordiero. It was called Leading on Empty. Leading on Empty. Well, that's exactly where I was at that point in time. I was leading, but I was empty. And the book just highlighted the Sabbath principle, the principle of Sabbath that God had laid out for his people from the very, very beginning. And I read it, and I knew it was true. But I didn't feel like I could walk into my boss's office and ask for a sabbatical. So I just I read it and I just kept on working. I kept on working. And God did something that blew my mind. He had my bosses call me into the office. So my bosses called me into the office and they said to me, they said, Mike, what's going on with you? And with tears in my eyes, I said, I don't know. I said, I'm just tired. I'm just really tired. And they said, well, what do you need? I said, I need a sabbatical. They said, how long? I said, 3 months. And they said, well, we don't know if we can give you 3 months, but we'll see what we can do. What they ended up doing was giving me a couple days less than 3 months. And when they gave me those 3 months, something happened, you all. I realized that I was in the grieving process and I had hit the anger stage. That's why my countenance had fallen. I had hit the anger stage. And it wasn't until after that time happened that I was actually still going to church because, you know, even though I was on a sabbatical and working for a church, I didn't want to be a heathen, so I still went to church. And so I remember going to church service and hearing a sermon called, A Place Called Stuck. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, I'm running, but I can't get away because I was in that place called Stuck. Then I remember being on my bed, listening to a former pastor of mine with my, I didn't even want to go to church the next week, on my laptop, and saying in my heart, I don't know if it came out of my mouth, I forgive you, God. Because I somehow thought that he had something to do with my mom dying from cancer. I had projected on him that he was somehow unkind, unloving, unknowing, unaware. And as I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this sermon, he started talking to me that day, like today. And he said to me, have I ever done anything to you that's unloving or unkind? I said, no, God. Have I ever done anything to your mother that was unloving, unkind? Has she ever told you that? No. Even when she was dying, what did she say? I asked her, said, Mom, what do you believe in God for? She said, I don't want to die. She said, I want to live. She said, but I've lived a good life. And so I want you to know, Mike, whatever God decides to do, it is well with my soul. And I remember thinking, man, if it's well with her soul, it's got to be well with mine. But at that point in time, I had convinced myself. I had listened to another voice. And as a result of me listening to another voice, I was as far from rest as I could possibly be. And at that point, I repented. Because I hadn't realized what was going on up until that point. But at that point, I realized and I repented. And as a result, I was able to enter into a Sabbath where he and I, our relationship, started to become reconnected. God and my relationship was strengthened in a way that it hadn't been for years, which allowed me and my wife to reconnect, which allowed me to reconnect with my daughters and reconnect with my extended family and allowed me to be ushered into another level of not just ministry, but rest that I hadn't experienced up until that time. I'm going to end with this. Some of you may be anxious. You may be ready to get back to the way that things were. Could it be that God has given you an opportunity for Sabbath right now? You wouldn't have taken that day off. You wouldn't have taken that 3 months off. Your boss wouldn't have given it to you. So God decided to shut the whole thing down. Why? So that he would give you an opportunity to reconnect with him, to realize that what he's offered in terms of promises, what he's offered in terms of the biggest promise that he gave us, you all, is himself. In terms of himself, we hadn't been enjoying. So he made us to realize that by giving us to be able to slow down for a while and actually judge, examine, and look at our lives in relation to his word. If you've done that today, you've done that over this past time, because I did that. Then guess what happened? I got tired, y'all, and I wanted to do something now. Now I want to do something. Okay, I reconnected, but now it's time to go back to work. But guess what? I don't want to go back to work the same way. Because if I go back to work the same way, then the people who I'm going to serve are not going to be served at the level that they're supposed to be served in. No, I need a new normal. That new normal is going to come with a new rest for me. And I encourage you today, as we pray, to examine yourselves to see whether or not you're trying to get away from what you've been praying for. You've asked God for an opportunity to rest. He's made the opportunity available. But just like everything else, salvation, he's made available. But guess what? You have to do something in order to get it. You have to enter into it the way that he says. And when you do that, you'll see his result.
Great. Just move that. You know, as Pastor Mike was sharing, I'm going to ask you to give me about 60 seconds because there were just the second time I heard this today and my mind was working. I really think you shared some powerful things. How many of you are restless? There's something stirring within you, but it's not a restless like you're excited. It's a restless of discontent. You know, in this passage, it says that there's a rest for today. So many of us, we see on tombstones, RIP, rest in peace, as if it's something that's way off in the distance when we die. But he's saying there's a rest for today. And it just struck me as Pastor Mike was sharing that, number one, if our relationship with God is broken, we can't rest. So you could be here today, growing up in church, know all the right things, but if your relationship with God is broken, you will not receive the rest that he's offering. So, number one, check out that relationship with God. But number two, for guys that have been in the ministry, sometimes, and it's not just us, we're striving as if we've got to do something for God and gain God's favor, and it's never enough. And there is something within us many times that feels like God could never love me and accept me the way I am. But the gospel that Mike so articulated is not about me gaining God's favor, but it's about God's favor resting on us. Just because he chose us and we're his kid. Just think about a parent. When I was a kid, I didn't worry about the finances. My parents handled that. I was able to just be a kid. God is in control. And too many of us are striving to gain his favor, or we're worrying about things that he hasn't called us to worry about. Rest in him. Let go. So deal with the sin. Deal with the worry. Deal with the relationship. This is a powerful thought because God wants us to enter into his rest. We're going to pray right now. I want you to take a moment. And if you have had this inner striving, this inner turmoil, I want you to ask God, Lord, what is it? Is my relationship with you disconnected? Am I striving over things that I don't need to be? Am I worrying about things that I need to leave in your hands? Just take a moment, 30 seconds, and just ask God, Lord, what is it? while you're praying, if the Lord is showing you that you've been disconnected because of sin or something, deal with it right now. If you've been striving because you're trying to manage or control things that are in His domain, let go. Just let go and trust Him. Father, I pray that You will take the stories that Mike shared, the experience that he has opened up to us today. If we've been holding on to anger, we've been holding on to worry, if we're battling depression because of just the stuff from the past, right now, Lord, we just want to cast our cares on You because You care for us. Now, Father, may the peace of the Lord Jesus rest upon us. May Your love rest upon us. May Your joy rest upon us. And may we enter into the rest that You have given us today. Thank You for these words. May they be implanted in our very souls and grafted into us that we might experience and walk in Your rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for meeting with us today. If you've been watching on Facebook, thank you. If any of you want to talk to Mike or just if you need prayer, feel free to come up. Those of you watching on Facebook, if you need to reach out, we would love to talk with you and to help you to find this rest that God wants to give you. God bless you. May you have a great day. We'll see you next week. Amen.